So we have the first reading from one of the beautiful prophets in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. We have something called in scripture study, major prophets, minor prophets. Our major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, because their prophecies are too long. And then we have the minor prophets, Habakkuk, Malachi, Zechariah, Hosea. I don't know the rest of it, but, you know, it's there. So we have Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk's prophecy in the structure that is given to us in canon, in the book, three chapters. In the first two chapters, he's complaining. And the third chapter is finding solace, trusting in the Lord that he will look after me. So in the first two chapters, we see Habakkuk really upset in front of God. Why things are not going according to the people of Israel? They're always in slavery. Nothing happens to them. They're always at the beck and call of another pagan Gentile king. There is always sword in Israel. There is always war. No peace of mind. No sense of settlement. If you look at the history, some context of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk was written late 7th century BC. That is the time Babylonians were getting powerful and attacking Jerusalem. Babylonians, you know, Babylonians, now it's different countries. At that time, it was one. So at the moment, it's Egypt, Iraq, Syria, almost most of the Middle Eastern countries were Babylonian kingdom. And Chaldeans were ruling in Babylonia at that time. So Babylonians were getting powerful and marching towards Jerusalem. And at that time, Jerusalem was ruled by a king called Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, while they were marching into Jerusalem, maybe because of fear or something, Jehoiakim died. Probably because of heart attack, you know. They're coming to attack me. The best what I can do is die, you know. And then his 18-year-old son, Jehoiachin, not much difference. 18-year-old son, he had to take up ownership. He had to become the king. Now, with his advisors, Jehoiachin surrendered Jerusalem to Babylonia. So this is the context. And the prophet is feeling isolated. All of the people are feeling isolated. They cannot worship their Lord and God, Yahweh. They are under the siege and capture of Babylonia, capture of Chaldeans. And that is the time prophets laments, where is God? So if you start from the reading, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And will you not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoings and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. Where are you, God? Where is your might? Are you not from of old, O Lord my God, my Holy One? Where are your mighty works? At times, we do cry out in front of the Lord in our supplications. I was giving a retreat in Perth, introducing Jesus to the teenagers. That is what I call it. Beautiful time, excellent time. 40 young people full on for the Lord. After the retreat, they had something on, so they asked me, you know, they gave me money to catch a taxi. So I took a taxi to airport straight after the retreat. And And I had a good conversation with this taxi driver. He is a Hindu. His name was Laxman. These days in Australia, most of the priests and taxi drivers are from India. So he have to put up with that. Anyway, I was talking to him, but this guy, it turned out to be an amazing encounter. He decided he's going to go home because he was feeling tired. He almost finished his shift. And that is the time he got the call from my group. So he decided maybe I will pick up this guy and then I will call it a day. So he came and picked me up. He looked at my cross and he said, "Oh, would you wear the cross?" I said, "I am a priest. I'm in the Catholic Church. We live in Canberra. I love, you know, preaching my faith and sharing my faith." And then he started, "Father, I've been looking for someone to talk to. All day today, I was complaining to God." He was a Hindu, but more 25 years ago, he was introduced to Jesus by a Protestant Christian community. So he knows about Jesus. 26 years, he has been in Australia. He was a boat guy. He was an engineer, but he had to escape Sri Lanka because he was a Tamil Sri Lankan and they had lots of issues. He came all the way here. He started work as an engineer, but because of his color and discrimination, he lost the job as an engineer. And then his wife left him. Then he had a son. He has a son who is in year 12 and he suffers from anxiety, just like a typical teenager, doesn't talk to him. Thinks his dad's culture and where he comes from is not something that he can aspire to. He hates his origin as an Asian or a Sri Lankan. And he hates his father was a boat guy. Now this guy is under alcohol. He said to me, "Father, I suffer from alcohol." And all day today, he was complaining to God that why this has happened to him. Why he lost his job. Why God is not doing anything to him. And he was arguing to the point that he wants a sign from God. Otherwise, he's going to do something. This is what he told me. He told me he actually literally asked God that he wants a sign from him that day, which is on yesterday. Which is yesterday, he said, "I want a sign from him, otherwise I'm going to give it up." There it is, I came in. And I said to him, I listened to him, I said, "What's the name of your son?" He said to me, "Gautam." I said to him, "I will pray for you." He immediately broke down. I don't know why. But then I said to him, "Can I pray with you? That's all I can give. Can I pray with you?" I put my hands over him. He's driving. I put my hands on him. And I prayed with him. And while I was praying, the Lord gave me an image. Or Lord gave me a word. Tell him. I listen to him. And tell him that I delight in him. Then I will look after him. Now, in charismatic context, I hear these words all the time. But when I told him this message, he broke down again. And I said to him, "Let us stop and you cry first. Otherwise, MGS will be crying for me because I will get into an accident and die." So we pulled up and we had this amazing time of ministry. You know, and when I left, I actually sent him a text message, you know, just following up how he is going. And he texted me back. The smartphones, it will be quick. He texted me back. Let me take my app. "Sorry, Bonnie, I have just checked my text message. Thank you so much for remembering me and my son. I felt a magnificent feeling which I can't speak out. but only can feel that. Before I picked you up, I was talking with God and accusing him and being depressed about he is not being supportive in his life. Thank God, I got your call and decided to pick you up. Jesus is a miracle to me now. Thanks, Father, for your time. You have touched me through God has touched me through me. When I was sitting in the flight, I was just overwhelmed. Not because God used me. He can use any dum-dums or dim-dims to touch people. Doesn't matter. I was amazed and touched. My heart was full of joy for the fact that how he loves his people. See how he loves. That has happened to Habakkuk. When you pour out your heart, when you cry out from the depth of your heart, in complete trust, in complete faith, he will listen. And he will use anyone and anyone which is available at that time. And I was the one available because I had some spare time between the retreat and going catching a flight. How he loves his people. How he loves his people. You know, one of the things I love Old Testament, every time God prophesies like this, tell my people. He wouldn't say, tell those people, tell that hooligans. He will always say, tell my people. He owns us. So much so, he delights in us. I think that faith is enough for us to carry on. That faith is enough for us to carry on. That is the charismatic faith, because I have God in all these things. Now, the story of Habakkuk does not end in a fairy tale ending. Happily ever after. No. Habakkuk had all the whingings. All the supplication, he poured out his heart, and he ends with a beautiful verse, chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in my Lord. I will rejoice in my Lord. He is my portion and my cup. When God gives you the food of suffering, the water of struggles, he will not abandon you. You will hear a voice from behind. This is the way, walk in it. Promise from one of the prophets. I forgot his name. That is the power of God. He will not abandon us. I was listening to a priest preaching. The priest was sharing the story of a bishop was sharing the story of his priest. He had a massive heart surgery. So he went to this doctor, and the doctor said, Father, it will be fine. I will do a surgery on you and you'll be fine. And they had a very successful surgery. When the priest recovered, he went and see the doctor with so much respect. And he said, you are the only person in this world who has seen my heart. The doctor said, well, I just saw only the outside of heart. I have never seen what is in your heart. I think the only person's heart we know is the heart of Jesus. We don't normally take our heart or open it, what is inside it. We don't do that. But the only person who broke himself, showed his heart, is Jesus. And what it came forth? Blood and water. Blood and water. The supplications of our life, the petitions of our life have gone into the heaven and rent the heaven. And what came forth? He rent his heart. And in his heart, as a priest, I can only see how he loves his people. How he loves his people. And Eucharist is one of the most supreme way he breaks open himself and comes to us. Maybe you have a story like the taxi driver. Maybe you are like Habakkuk, crying out and crying out. The Lord will come, sure as dawn. As Lamentations we read, his love is new every day. His faithfulness is everlasting. So I invite you, give your supplications. You need to cry, cry it out. You need to belt it out, belt it out. Cry out, pour out your heart, just like Hannah, who cried in the church and even babbled and mumbled because she was full of sorrow. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The just man live by faith. Our faith is this: our God will not leave us as orphans. Whenever we suffer, struggle, we will always hear a voice. This is the way, walk in it. Let us persevere. Let us persevere. Let us persevere. Amen.